Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here, your presence in our lives, your gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for your precious love, for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask you to reveal it to us. We ask you, Lord, just to open our hearts to receive everything you have for us. We ask you, Lord, to fill this place with you. Open up heaven for us. Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord. Lord, touch your people this morning. And touch your people always. And Lord, we just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture this morning was from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and also 5 and 6. I'm going to read it again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What is faith? Believing God. What does true faith require? There's three things I'm going to list. The first thing faith requires is knowledge. A man cannot believe what he does not know. I could look over there at that chair and say, well, that's a chair, only if I know that it's a chair. Otherwise, it'd be, what's a chair? A man can be asked, what do you believe? Some might say, I believe what the church believes. Is that right? We need to investigate ourselves, don't we? What we believe. Be like the Bereans. Everything they were told, they examined the scriptures and they sought it out, what is true and what isn't. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Romans 10:14-15, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, it's not just what you believe in, it's who you believe in. The second thing faith requires is agreement. We have to agree with what we know. But we have to believe the source. We have to believe the truthfulness of that source. Romans 10:17 says that so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is the word of God the truth? Of course it is. The word of God says it's the truth. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. But it has to go beyond that. It has to ring true in our hearts. It has to be placed in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. We read it, and we read it again, over and over. The more we read it, the more we know that we know. That we know that is true. The third thing that faith requires is affiance. A-F-F-I-A-N-C-E. Now, that's a word we see every day, isn't it? Actually, we get the word fiancé from it. It means to be attached to take hold of, to grasp, to claim as your own, to be engaged to be committed to be promised to, and to be resting on that promise. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It has to be real to us. How do we know it's real to us? Because the Word of God says it is. Do you have faith? It's test time. Three questions. Do you rely at all on your own righteousness for your salvation? Do you love Jesus? Do you obey Jesus? James 2, 17 through 20. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? People aren't going to know that we have faith unless they see it in action in us. This isn't what it takes to be saved. This is what it takes to convince the world of God's salvation in us. If we don't show it, they don't see it. If they don't see it, they don't believe it. You know, we're going down the river today. The river isn't like a swimming pool. There's one thing missing. It's that life preserver that's hanging on the fence next to the pool. So we have to be more careful down there, don't we? Now that life preserver, the fact that it's there, does that save you? The fact that you believe it's there, does that save you? It doesn't save you unless you have to use it. And when you have to use it, you actually use it. See, faith isn't really faith until it's put in action. Chapter 11 lists a lot of people. They're called the heroes of faith. But they all did something. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned, built an ark. He believed it was going to rain, so he prepared for it. You know, he could have just said, I believe it's going to rain. But it wouldn't have done him any good, would it? It wouldn't have saved him. He had to take that knowledge. He had to agree with it. He had to cling to it. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went out not knowing where he was going. God didn't tell him where he was going. He said, I'll let you know when you get there. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph leaning on his staff. By faith, Joseph, when dying, gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. It wasn't the noise that knocked those walls down. It was their faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab didn't perish for those that didn't believe. Hebrews 11 goes on to say, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. The heroes of faith. They put their faith into action. What was it I read in James? Thou believest that thou is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. It's more than just acknowledging God's existence. Faith actually becomes a part of us. It becomes who we are. It causes us to live our lives according to that faith. I'm going to give you two examples of this. And I've talked about both these people before, both of these examples. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is imprisoned by Herod. He's scheduled to have his head cut off the next day. What's he doing? He's sleeping. He's sleeping so soundly that when the angel comes in, he has to wake him up, physically wake him up. Now, if you thought you were going to have your head cut off the next day, would you be sleeping? I don't think I would. I don't know. I'd like to think I would. But he had faith. And what was his faith based on? John 21, 18 and 19. Jesus is talking to Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. Thus speak he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Jesus told him how he was going to die. And it didn't say anything about having his head cut off. He told him he was going to be crucified just like Jesus was. So Peter, when he's in that prison cell, and he hears he's going to have his head cut off the next day, he goes to sleep because that's not what Jesus said was going to happen to him. Besides, Jesus also told him, when you're older. Peter was still a young man. Acts 28, 3 through 5. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. It was just a minor inconvenience to him. He had faith. What did he base his faith on? God's word. Acts 23, 10, 11. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. He believed the Lord's promise. He grasped hold of it. He refused to let go. He had knowledge. He agreed with that knowledge. and he attached himself to it. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, Jesus talked about the sheep and the goats. And one group said, but Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things for you? They didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, those who come to him. Yes, he draws us to him. But we have to answer him when he beckons to us, don't we? We have to respond to that call. Just because we acknowledge he's there, that doesn't save us. We have to believe he's there. We have to believe that he went to a cross 2,000 years ago and he died on that cross for us. We have to receive him. Receive his forgiveness. Receive his salvation. We have to have that knowledge. We have to agree with that knowledge. We have to attach ourselves to that knowledge. We must believe that he is. Moses said, who are you, Lord? Who shall I say sent me? Jesus said, I am. Or the Lord said, I am. I believe it was Jesus Christ before he walked the earth. He's all through the Old Testament, by the way. When the Lord appeared to anybody, it was Jesus Christ. He's the all-sufficient one. I am, he said. I'm all I need to be, and I'm all you need me to be. We must believe that he is. He's all he needs to be, and he's all we need him to be. All our sufficiency. We lift up our prayers to him every Sunday morning here, and at other times, I hope, because we believe who he is. We believe his word. We believe he'll do as he says. Titus talks about the hope that we have of eternal life, who God, who can't lie, promised before the world began. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What kind of rewarder is he? We talked about this the other day in devotions. Ephesians 1:7-8, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Abounded toward. As was mentioned, some translations say lavished on us. God just doesn't hold back when he blesses us, does he? He's that kind of rewarder. A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Jeremiah 29:12-14. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. We have to take it seriously. It has to be so real to us that we know it. And we agree with it. And we attach ourselves to it. Isaiah 55:6-7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I don't care how many times you've walked away from the Lord. It says in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs, it might be in Psalms, that the righteous fall seven times, but seven times they get back up. We keep going to him. It doesn't matter. We keep going to him. We keep seeking him. We turned away, then we turn back. That's what's important. And he will abundantly pardon. His word says he doesn't remember our sins anymore. We might say when we come back to him, Lord, I've sinned against you again. You know what he's going to say? There's a song about it. He's going to say, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember it anymore. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's cast our sins away from us. You notice it doesn't say north and south. It says east and west. You can travel north so far that eventually you start traveling south. But if you travel east, you're never going to get west because you keep going east. We're coming into some really interesting times. There's a lot going on in the news. There's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot of wickedness and evil that's being revealed. We saw an example of that yesterday. And it's a lot bigger than we see. But our God is a lot bigger than any of the wickedness, any of the evil in the world. Who wins? You that read the back of the book, who wins? We do. His word says so. His word said that things were going to get evil, things were going to get in the last times, there'd be perilous times. He predicted everything that's happening. So we have to look beyond what's happening to what he says after that is going to happen. The hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the beginning of the world. His word is true. His word is true. I know the plans I have for you, he says, plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. There's not a person in this room that I can't say God has a plan for you, because he does. He brought you here this morning. And this afternoon, we'll make it earlier. This afternoon down the river, two people are going to be baptized. More if anybody else wants it. Just let us know, and that'll be about between 1:30 and 2. Looks like we're going to get out of here a little bit earlier today anyway. So we'll plan on 1:30. Everybody know where it is? You go to exit 1, you get off, you go to the Flying J, you go past the Flying J truck stop, go down that road, it curves to the left, and go in the first driveway. Does that sound about right, bud? That's true. That's right. Make sure you pull in there. Anyway, we hope to see you there. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for the plan that you have for each one of us. We thank you, Lord, that you have all things under control. Everything is in the palm of your hand, Lord. Nothing ever surprises you, and it never will. You have a solution for every problem before there's a problem, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we live in these times, Lord, where we can see the fulfillment. I believe it's a fulfillment of everything in history, Lord. Lord, just help us. Help us to continue strong, to follow you. Help us to finish strong on this journey that we call life, Lord. This precious journey that you've given to us, Lord. Lord, we want to be those that stand before you and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servants. Help us, Lord, to follow your ways. Help us, Lord, to show our faith to the world by the things that we do, by our action and by our love, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your message, Lord. Lord, I pray for your blessing on your people today, and I pray, Lord, for your protection, and just keep us close to you. Keep us focused on you. Keep us strong, Lord, please. And Lord, I pray that you'd bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Like I said, if anybody else wants to get baptized, let me know, and we'll include you. It's a big river. Anyway, have a good day.